What is a mentor? What is a mentor? M-E-N-T-O-R. Anybody know? Is it somebody that has good judgment, experience, knowledge? Maybe a trusted counselor or teacher? How many's got a mentor in your life? You have a few. Okay. I'm going to give you some examples. You have there on your sheet of mentors. There's Moses and Joshua, Paul and Timothy, Elijah and Elisha, Eli and Samuel, and Mordecai and Esther and Jesus and the disciples. I'm going to first start with Moses and Joshua. In the book of Exodus 17, 8 through 16, Joshua showed Moses seeing Joshua as having a lot of potential. Joshua went places and seen things that even the 70 elders did not get to experience. Joshua showed love for the tabernacle or the church of God. He was dedicated. Exodus 33, Joshua said he was constantly watching and growing and maturing. You ever seen someone follow a pastor or maybe one of our elders and watching him and following? And I thought of Brother Paul when he's been having the boys to take up the offering. He's teaching them. Those boys watch them when they take up the offering. You don't think people watch and listen, but they do. And they are learning to do things in the house of God. Joshua had potential. Do you? Joshua had a teachable spirit. Do we? To be a good mentor, you must have patience. Well, just that in itself leaves me and Brother Hewitt out. So you have to be patient. So if you're not patient, you're probably not going to be a good mentor. Think about Moses. I know several people has talked about Pastor. He's like Moses, even when we was building from the Arkansas Baptist Assembly here on Wednesday nights, we would come and work at the church and getting it ready. And they said he took us around and around and around. We went through the tabernacle, we would sit in the place where they ate, and then we'd come up here and work. Do we have any Moseses in this place? If we do, stand up. Do you know who you are? Are you a Moses? Think about Paul and Timothy. Paul mentored Timothy, did he not? Yeah. Paul is the best example of Christian mentorship. 1 Corinthians 11:1, it says, whatever you have learned or seen, not just learned, but seen too, let me be your role model, he said. Paul commands us. He didn't give us an option. He said, for us as church, we are to be an example to our flock and to our congregation. He said, be an example, teach, model, lead the way. Do we have any Pauls in here? Well, don't you go, Paul. Any Pauls in our congregation? Who are you being called to be? Who are you called to be? What are we supposed to be doing here? I know, I hope you don't care if I say this. Dale is a good guy. This is Brenda's brother. I remember my husband calling him and said, could you come and do our roof? No, he didn't get up on the roof and go, roof, roof. But he did get somebody. Y'all get that tonight about midnight. He has taught so many how to lay shingles. Okay? Brother Larry has showed people, even pastor, he's a jack of all trades, master at none. He knows how to do sheetrock because Brother Larry taught him. He was mentoring. How many of us have mentored people? Elijah mentored Elisha. Mm-hmm. Elijah was God's prophet. Do we have any prophets here? Why don't we? Elijah prayed for it not to rain. Did it rain? He asked God to stop the rain for how many years? Anybody know? How many? I can't hear you. How many, Brother Snow? I'm sorry. I need your hearing aids. Thank you. Okay. He asked for it not to rain. And let me tell you something else God done for Elijah. He sat down by a brook named what? Cherith. Okay. What fed him? Stinking birds that I hate. I hate birds, in case y'all didn't know that. But if I was starving, I might really like them. But he got fed by the birds there at the brook Cherith. He also raised up a widow's son from the dead. How many of us could lay hands on someone that was dying and God raised him up? He also called fire down from heaven, killed 450 prophets of Baal. Then he prayed for it rain, and did it, Brother Snow? It rained, didn't it? Yeah. How many of us could do that? Do we have any Elijahs here at church? Do we have anybody here? Do you know who you are? Are you mentoring anybody? You don't have to be perfect. Look at Elijah. He ran in from Jezebel, didn't he? But you know what? To be a mentor, you've got to be real. You've got to be transparent. You've got to be genuine. It's not for you to fake a surface relationship. You've got to open up yourself. You must be real. You will never be a good mentor like Elijah was to Elisha. Elisha jumped at the opportunity to be trained by Elijah. That shows what kind of heart he had and the spirit that he had, and he wanted to be like Elijah. Elisha never left Elijah's side. He was totally committed to Elijah. Yeah. But more important, he was committed to God.
Right.
How did he learn from Elijah? He watched him. How many of y'all watch different ones that you look up to? He helped him. And most of all, being with him. Same way with God. Let me tell you something. Mentoring is about serving. Mentoring is not about position. If you want a position, you're looking for the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. You're looking for the wrong thing.
Right.
Mentoring is a long-term process, a commitment, not for just a few months. Mentoring produces some of the best leaders who often do greater things than their mentors.
Right.
Someone is watching you. Eli mentored Samuel, but you know what? He did it passively. He was a priest. Eli mentored Samuel for taking tasks and responsibility after his death. When Eli was pushed, he had to deal with hard situations, and he did when there was no other options. He dealt with his health issues and his sons. He finally had to do something when God called Samuel. Yeah. Remember when God was calling Samuel? He thought it was Eli. He finally had to do something when God called Samuel. Mordecai, he mentored Esther. Esther spoke up for injustice, but it really mattered. Esther 2 and 7. Because of Mordecai, he was Esther's cousin. Mordecai adopted Esther. And he had her with him at the gates because that's where the business is. And they made decisions at the gates. We know from other scriptures from this. Esther didn't wake up one day and just realize, I'm queen. She was mentored from an orphan. Mm-hmm. She was mentored from an orphan. But guess what, guys? It's never too late to be mentored at any age. Even Brother Hewitt, at his age, we could mentor him. Okay, he told us this morning he was old. It'll take some humbleness. Esther's life wasn't easy. Mentors, if you want to be a mentor, like some of these people I mentioned, they're more concerned about others than they are their own self, or getting the glory or attention.
Right.
That's what's wrong. Even Brother Hewitt mentioned it this morning about the selfishness. We are a generation that is selfish. We don't want to do anything for anybody else besides ourselves. Then there's Jesus and his disciples. Jesus mentored his disciples. He did. But there was one that did not follow his example. One of the ones he mentored, Judas, turned out bad. Mentoring means you interact with people. You can't do that by texting, Facebook, Instagram. Oh, you can say a little something, but that's not what God is talking about. Mentorship. A mentor must give your life. Deuteronomy 6 tells us to mentor others. There's just some things to ponder. Maybe this is one reason why the church world is in the shape it's in. This house should be packed with what's going on in our world today. Who have we mentored? Have we even mentored our own kids? You know, mentors are just another word for discipleship. This is not big brother, big sister. You have to have relationships before you mentor. Right. We don't have time for relationships no more. We don't even have time for relationship with God. What's wrong with us, folks? What's wrong with us? We don't have relationship with each other across the aisle. How are we going to have relationship with people that's not saved? Mentors are agents that walk beside the mentees, showing and setting an example how to live a mature Christian life. Relationships are the primary means God established for learning and preserving his commandments. Jesus developed strong relationships among his disciples.
Yeah.
If we don't have these relationships with one another, we might as well forget about the mentorship. They won't want to be like us. Why would they? You don't have time for them. We can see the eroding of relationships being lost in our Christian homes today. Phones have replaced relationships. We don't sit in the car like we used to. We don't talk about what happened in church.
Yeah.
We have divided hearts because we care more about what happens on The Bachelor, God forbid, or The Bachelorette, God forbid. We've allowed TV, social media, YouTube, Netflix to mentor our kids. Jesus showed the disciples the values of heaven is different than the values of this ungodly world.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I'm tired. I'm ready to go home. This world is not my home. Jesus showed them the behavior he wanted them to copy by doing it first himself. He was a teacher. And taught them to practice what he had shown them and taught them. Christian mentoring is a process dependent upon submission. Oh, Brother Ronnie saying that tonight about submission. It's not a four-letter word. When we hear the word submission, our ears immediately shut out or tune out, minds closed off. We don't want nothing to do with that or resemble submission. The dictionary says submission is the act or fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another person. How many of us have submitted our will to God? Not our will, but thy will.
Think about it.
How many of us have submitted? It's hard. It kills the flesh. We don't want to do it. But you know what, folks? If you don't submit, you can't lead. If you don't submit, you can't lead.
Right.
Submitting means also putting others before you. It means not doing what you want to do. It means putting God's desires above your own. Isn't that what being a disciple is all about? Putting others before us, preferring God's ways and plans before our own. We are no longer belong to ourselves, but to God.
Yes.
To be a true child of God, a disciple, even a mentor, will mean we are in submission to God, putting the need of others before our own. You don't lose your identity or lose your voice or objection or opinion in submission. The lack of proper and godly submission has created many to be resistant and even obstinate and unteachable in the body of Christ. They can't be a mentor because they've never become a good mentee. I know this is hard. Paul said, let me give you an example. Teach, model, lead the way. I want to ask you a question to think about. Could it be that our kids have learned by our example of not being submissive, not going to the altar, never talking about God? If I was to ask everyone of these teenagers here, or teens, young teens, do you know where your favorite shopping place is? Raise your hand. If you know, one is only being honest. Okay, one, two, three, being honest. How many of you adults know where your favorite shopping place is? Okay, but guess what? They can tell you your favorite shop. Where it's at. But can they tell you where Luke and John and Acts is at? We're to love our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. Are they more concerned about the clothes and how they look than being at the altar because mom and daddy never goes?
Mom.
Mentoring can be one-on-one basis, or it can be a small group. Both church and unchurch desire a maximum number of small groups. You know why? Because they know about relationship. We can't be real. Guess that's why. Well, skip that. In all truth, no excuses justification, or reason. If you are a Christian and you're not mentoring someone to the degree or he or she needs it, you're not living up to your calling. You can't share what you don't have. Everyone can mentor. Is it your will or God's will? Are you too selfish with your time? Let me tell you, if you've been called into ministry, it's going to take your time and it won't be just on your schedule. Because you know why? You put the needs of others before your own. You can put this down on your paper if you want. First thing, requirements of a mentor is to be patient. God's still working on me and Brother Hewitt. Requirements of a mentor, spend time with them. You've got to be there for someone. Never make excuses. Find ways to improve on mentoring. If you want to go far for God and on your journey, partner with somebody. Influence others positive to godly character, not worldly character. Equip others. Provide ideas. A positive attitude, not an old grumpy person. Don't be an old grumpy person. I let him sleep. That's my church. He usually gets to say, I let her sleep, so I say, I let him sleep. Be loyal to your church, your pastor, and your church leaders. If they talk about them, that might disqualify you for being a mentor. First and foremost, have a teachable heart. Let me tell you this, mentoring is not a Bible study. Mentoring is not a Bible study. Mentoring is not a Bible study, but it will involve the Bible.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Don't say we're going to do it, I want you to mentor me and then have a Bible study, because that's not it. It will involve it, though. Okay? Mentees, people that wants to be mentored, is not looking for perfection. Because guess what? There's not one on earth. Surprise. They're looking for someone to be real and truthful and authentic. When there's problems, they need truth. Not avoidance, but it has to be in the right attitude, the right tone, and in the love. Amen?
Amen.
I'm almost through. Brother Hewitt says, hallelujah. You know the way. We're just supposed to show the others the way. Mentoring isn't something new or an afterthought. Jesus taught by example. We tend to treat new Christians like they're a baby sea turtle. Thank you, Sister Loretta. Anybody ever seen a baby sea turtle? Nobody? Okay, there's a few shaking their hands. When they are born, they are instinctively know what to do. They head right for the sea. Some survive. Others don't. Others get eaten. It's not a survival of the fittest. Good luck out there! You know, that's what we do when we come to church. I did that to Brother Mike and he got jumped out of his hide. That's what we do to people that comes to church and say, oh, I'm so glad you're at Trinity. God bless you. Come back. And we leave them out there to swim. Get out as best you can. Jesus didn't do that. He ate, he walked, and he slept. And they learned from Jesus by being near him.
Yeah.
By being near him. How do we learn and grow? By being near Jesus. By being near Jesus. If you think I'm up here just snotting, well, I am mad too, but just up here flopping my lips to be up here. Every one of you, young and old, are called to be a mentor. I asked pastors to read the last scripture, Titus 2:1.
She's done an awesome job. How many knows that you're called to be a mentor? I could hear it from all the way up here. I could hear voices saying, nope, that's not me. Nope, that's not me. Nope, that's not me. We're going to look into the book of Titus, which we very seldom ever hear anybody preach from or talk about. Titus chapter 2 says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. And the Amplified, those two verses say, but as for you, teach what is fitting and becoming to sound wholesome doctrine, the character and the right living that identify true Christians. Urge the elder men to be temperate, vulnerable or serious, sensible, self-controlled, sound in faith and love, and in steadfastness and patience in Christ. Going back to King James, verse 3, Titus chapter 2. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine or any, teachers of good things. I know I added that, but it's been taken totally out of context in today's world. That they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, to chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, show thyself pattern of good works and doctrine, shewing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort, means mentor, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again.